Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. Nice to talk with you this morning.
Thanks so much for spending the time with us. Before we talk about the bridge, I know that your family has some interest in trucking, and I wanted to get your take on these crazy gas prices and how, from your perspective, they're affecting the trucking business and goods and services, because trucks deliver pretty much everything we eat and sit on and live in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're killing the independent truck driver, and then they're stifling the economy because the carriers that pay for the fuel turn around and include that fuel price to the shippers and the consignees that they pick up and deliver to and from. And I'm really worried about it setting the economy back, to be honest with you, Tony.
Have you any idea why these prices are jumping? Because no one else seems to have any ideas.
The only thing that I hear, Tony, is that they say as we print more of our money and take on more debt, we devalue the dollar, and the dollar just doesn't go as far as some of the foreign currencies in buying that oil.
I grew up in Mount Clemens, so I know the Detroit area well, and everything that I've seen about the Maroon family in the last year in the media is basically the family and the company are money-grubbing folks who care about their own interest in making money, and they just want their bridge to succeed, and they don't want any other bridges because that would obviously be in conflict with how they do business. But I've noticed an effort from you, your mother, your family, to really get out there and say, hey, that isn't the story of who we are and what we do.
Yeah, well, that's true. Unfortunately, this controversy as to whether or not the government builds a bridge or the private sector does is kind of turned into a character assassination. So part of the mantle that the government bridge supporters have come up with is for quote good reasons why we should spend a few billion of taxpayer money and build a government bridge is, well, the Maroons are rich, or the Maroons own a train station that has seen better days, or they contribute too much to politicians. You know, those are all things that I guess you could say about my family, but they're not good reasons for sticking the taxpayers with a multi-billion-dollar tab to build a new bridge.
Well, what your opponents say is that we do need another bridge because we have a lot of goods and services that need to get over to Canada. The Ambassador Bridge can't handle the traffic, and it's not going to be paid for by the taxpayers. The funding's going to come from other sources. What's your perspective on that?
Well, Tony, there are some things that need to get back and forth between Canada and the United States. Unfortunately, there's a lot less than what there used to be. As you know, Tony, being from Mount Clemens, Detroit used to be a city with a population of 2 million people. We're down to 700,000. 10 years ago, we had 500,000 more manufacturing jobs in our state, and southeastern Michigan was very vibrant with those jobs. Those are the things that drive traffic across a border crossing. In this instance, our traffic's down almost 50% from year 2000. So there's not high traffic demand whatsoever. In fact, that's the reason why the government bridge is going to cost taxpayers so much money, because traffic is what pays for a bridge, and there's just not enough traffic.
Well, let's talk about the traffic across the bridge. What's the weight on both sides of the bridge, and what causes the delays?
Right. The bridge, as far as the roadbed capacity and so on of the bridge, is at less than half capacity. The only weight is when you get to the other side of the bridge, you can't sail right into a country. You have to go through their customs, immigration, and primary inspection booth. At that point, depending on what you tell the guy in the booth and what kind of security alert is, that will adjust your wait from 30 seconds to a few minutes. And that's basically the only holdup ever getting across most border crossings.
So, from your perspective, could two bridges survive and do well and be profitable and ease those time waits?
No, they really couldn't, because when you cross the Ambassador Bridge, there is no wait until you get to customs. In fact, the Ambassador Bridge is the most efficient border crossing on the border with Canada or compared to those crossings going into Mexico. The idea is if you want to decrease wait times, and the wait times really aren't that long right now, you'd have to add more inspectors and more booths. And while that's costly, it's a lot less costly than building a brand new bridge that's unnecessary. You know, Tony, we want to build a new bridge next to the Ambassador Bridge, but not because of traffic. We want to build a new bridge because our bridge is 83 years old. We've already expanded the plazas on both sides, and it's very costly for us to repair our bridge when traffic is on it. So just like the state did in Port Huron, we'd build a new span right alongside, connect it to our existing plazas, shut down the old, rehab it, and open it back up. It's a proven strategy. In fact, you know, like I said, the state's done it, and that's all we're trying to do. We're going to do it with our own money. There's no doubt about it, and it'll be great for another 83 years.
Is Canada backed away from their $550 million offer to help build this bridge?
Well, you know, Tony, we've heard the most confusing things as far as Canada and their offer. You know, when it first was floated as a loan. And then when we asked about the terms of the loan, they said, well, it's not really a loan, it's a gift. And then most recently, we've got their Minister of Transport for the entire country on the floor of Parliament telling a parliamentarian from Quebec who's concerned about a bridge there in Quebec that, don't worry about it, we're not going to spend any taxpayer money on Michigan's side of the bridge. So, you know, when someone mentions $550 million, you'd like to see some details. And so far, that offer and what it is, I'm thoroughly confused. I haven't seen a term sheet or an interest rate or a commitment of any kind. And, you know, that's not how $500 million offers
so
are made.
So what will you do if another bridge is built?
Well, we'll try to survive as best we can, Tony, but like I said, our traffic is already down by half, and if another bridge is built, we lose half our traffic again, we'll be struggling to survive.
Well, have you been offered money from a source to buy the bridge? Why not get out of the business?
Well, you know, probably the same reason why you're not crazy about getting out of the radio business. I mean, it's what you do. We've got some pride, besides the fact that we are in business for a profit. We enjoy what we do, and we're proud of what we do. We have not been offered money. You know, that's kind of one of the things that's troubling here. The Detroit River is 32 miles long. We've never taken a dime of taxpayer money. We've built our own business. And six blocks away, the government wants to build their own bridge and, by their own statement, take 75% of our traffic. They're going to do so with taxpayer money. Their plan is that their bridge doesn't pay property taxes or income taxes. They're going to use government resources to build it, not only money, but people and approvals and so on. And, you know, that's just not fair. That's that'd be like the government setting up a radio station and allowing advertisers to advertise for free on it right next door to you.
All right.
That's pretty tough.
Matt, I appreciate your time. I look forward to talking with you again. I'm probably going to get in touch with you to talk more about this gas and trucking issue.
Yeah, that'd be great, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate your time this morning.
Bye-bye.